بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، نعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات احسان الله، يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، نشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله، اما بعد. يا ايها الذين امنوا، يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القران العظيم: يا ايها الذين امنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله. يا ايها الذين امنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على انفسكم او الوالدين والاقربين وان يكون غني او فقيرا. Brothers and sisters, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We bear witness that whomever Allah guides cannot be misguided. Whomever Allah allows to be blind cannot be guided at all. We seek refuge with Allah from the weakness of ourselves. We believe in Him, we depend upon Him, we rely upon Him. Brothers and sisters, we bear witness with our tongues and our hearts confirm there is nothing worthy of worship besides Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's messenger, without a doubt. No doubt. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in fact the messenger of Allah. No doubt. We bear witness that Al-Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is huda, it is guidance. It is al-haq, the truth. And nur, its light. We bear witness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless His Muhammad, His Messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, and his family, and his companions, and the believers everywhere. Brothers and sisters, I've chosen as a theme for today's khutbah an ayah, a verse in Surah An-Nisa, the 135th verse. I want to remind you who Allah is speaking to, brothers and sisters. Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu. O you who believe. I must admit, brothers and sisters, this afternoon I come to put a weight on the shoulders of the Muslims. Yes. Today, brothers and sisters, I'm going to place on your back a responsibility. And I want to, for a few moments, discuss this Rodney King affair. It has great significance for the Muslims. It does. And today, what do I want to do? I want to put on every one of you the shoulder of responsibility in this Rodney King affair. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط. All you who believe, stand up for justice. That's my commandment to the Muslims. In New York City, the Muslims in Los Angeles, the Muslims all over the world, كونوا قوامين بالقسط. Be custodians of justice. Stand up for justice. شهداء لله. Witnesses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, brothers and sisters, there is a group of Christians very famous who come early in the morning knocking on the doors even of Muslims. They're called Jehovah Witness. Do you know this name, Jehovah Witness, is a good name? Do you know where they get that name from? They get that name from their scripture, the Old Testament. Be ye witnesses for Jehovah. Do you know that if that was in the Arabic language, it would be the same thing that we have in Al-Quran, shuhada'a lillah, witnesses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't you know that's a good name? Jehovah Witnesses is a good name. Because these people are saying that they're witnesses for Allah. But don't you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran, shuhada'i lillah, witnesses for Allah. Do you know, you brothers who wear kufis and wear turbans and wear jalabiya and wear kameez and wear these clothing and wear non-Islamic Western clothing, do you know all of us are shuhada'i lillah, witnesses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so today, brothers and sisters, I only come to put on your shoulder the burden of responsibility of what's going on in the street. Because, I tell you right from the beginning, brothers and sisters, straight out front, that the only people capable of bringing justice in this system are the believers. Plain and simple. Yes, it's on you. Yes. 14 months ago, Muslims in this country and all over the world, along with perhaps billions of others, witnessed 81 seconds of a videotape that went around the world of 21 police officers standing around while four of them beaten in African America, American with a chain around his neck. And the world witnessed four police officers that we saw in those 81 seconds beat that man 56 times. Banging him in the head, in the ear, in the neck, in the shoulder, in the leg, on the knee, beating him and making these racial remarks 14 months ago. Our eyes didn't deceive us. Last week, a jury in Simi Valley, an area where many of the people are policemen, acquitted these four brutes and said that they did not commit excessive force. What was the result? The result was a riot. Los Angeles exploded. San Francisco, Miami. Seattle, Washington, different parts of the country exploded. What was the result? In Los Angeles alone, 58 people lost their lives. 2,383 people injured. More than 16,000 people arrested. 3,767 buildings set on fire.
businesses burning down, homes burning down, and the people in that area lost thousands of jobs. And then the media, CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox, Channel 11, everywhere they showed the rioting and the looting, and we watched in our homes as other white Americans watched. What is the analysis of the people? Look, they said, at them savages. And now the experts are saying, at first when Rodney King was beat, the black people had the sympathy of the white people. But because the African Americans, they say, rioted, then they say now it's the white backlash. Now the white folks are angry at black people and said they deserve what they get. And this is their analysis all over. I wish I brought out with me an article of today's Post. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm not suggesting that you read these papers. I'm not. I tell you, maybe the New York Times, maybe, because there's some information you can get. But I don't want you to think, because I quote from these papers, that you ought to read them. I read them for a reason. I have to know what they're saying as a leader. I have to know what they're putting out. I have to know the tricks that they do. So I have to read it, but I don't suggest you all go out and buy a Post and buy the news. No, I don't suggest that. You want to, we get one here in the masjid. If you want to come read it, just come to the masjid and read it, inshallah. Don't you all go spend your money. But in the today's New York Post, page 2, I imagine, first printed over on the left-hand side, is an article by one of the biggest racists in the society, former Mayor Ed Koch. You should see this article. I wish I had the statistics in front of me. I left it in my office. But he said, he said, this rioting in Los Angeles reminds me of a story years ago when I used to be a congressman. He said a Hispanic person came to him and said that if I go into an elevator, about to go into an elevator, and there's a white woman there, I know that when I go into the elevator, she's not going to go in behind me because she thinks I'm going to rape her. Makes me feel bad to think that people think that of us. You know what that old cop said? He said, well, let's face it, who can blame white people? Who can blame white people? He began to say, well, black people are only 12% of the population, but yet so many people in prison are black. So many murderers are black. So many robbers and arsons are black. So many rapists are black. And he began to give the percentages of the people in prison. That old racist stuff. But what he failed to say is the reality of why so many blacks and Hispanics wind up in jail, why so many white people go scot-free. He don't talk about the racism that exists in this society. And there are many books you can read. One book is called The Rich Get Richer and the Poor Get Prison. Brothers and sisters, you will see that there is institutionalized racism in this nation. Deep down to the very core, this nation is racist. And brother and sister, I wish I had time to really devote to you, to talk to you like I need to talk to you, to make you understand the system. How vicious, how evil, how hypocritical they are. And you know what? The little victims always get punished. But they don't tell you that there are people who commit greater crimes and they go scot-free because their skin is white and because they have power and because they have money and they have influence.
racism is at the very root of this society. But I don't come today to prove that. My reason for giving this khutbah, for one reason, and one reason over, only, I want to motivate, to inspire, to push the Muslims to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kunu kawamuna, kunu kawamina bil qist, shuhada' lillah. Oh, you who believe, stand up for justice. I'm telling you, Masjid al-Taqwa, Muslim brothers and sisters, men especially, stand up for justice. Stand up and be custodians of justice. Wallahu ala anfusikum. Even if it be against your own self. Even if it's against your mother and your father, stand up for justice. Even if it be against your relatives, stand up for justice. Whether it be against the rich or the poor, stand up for justice. And that is my commandment to the brothers here, what Allah commanded us. And I want us to be the first to stand up for justice. I asked Imam Al-Amin Abdul Latif, the Imam, the Amir of the Magistrate Court of New York City, stand up for justice. I asked ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America, ICNA, the Islamic Circle of North America, Imam Waraquddin Muhammad, the head of the American Muslim Mission, stand up for justice. Imam this and Imam that, stand up for justice. Shuhada'a lillah, as witnesses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, I want to close this part of the khutbah with another incident that took place, not 14 months ago, but 1400 years ago. And I want to contrast what happened then to what happened last week in California. There was a woman, high noble woman, Muslim, who committed thievery, who stole. And the Quraysh, Ahammad, began to worry. Who's going to intercede for this woman? She's a high-class, noble woman. Who's going to intercede? Who will go to the Prophet and speak on her behalf and hope that she can avoid the punishment of stealing? Who can we send? They said, yes, we will send Usama bin Zayd. Usama, the son of Zayd, we'll send him. Why? He is beloved of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's send Usama. He will be a shafa'ah, an intercessor for this woman. And so Usama radiallahu anhu came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to what the Prophet Muhammad said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two narrations, both of them in Al-Bukhari. And I read this hadith before many times, but one word that I saw this time that I've never focused on before, I share it with you. And so when Usama came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to intercede for this rich woman, this noble woman, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, said the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, إِنَّمَا حَلَّكَ مَنْ كَنَّ قَبْلَكُمْ, destroyed were the people who came before you. حَلَّكَ, destroyed. Ah, that's a key word. Why were the people before me and before us destroyed? Why? إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُقِيمُوا حَدَّ عَلَى الْوَدِيعِ وَيَتْرُكُونَ الشَّرِيفِ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِّهِ
La Fatima sa'alat dhalika laka'atu yadaha. The people who came before you were destroyed. Whenever the poor people, whenever the weak people, whenever the small people committed crimes, they would make sure to execute them. They would make sure that they punished them. When little people commit crimes, they would punish them. But whenever the rich and the Teresa and the famous and the noble commit crimes, they will let them go. I swear by Allah that if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I swear by one in whose hand my life is, if Fatima, my daughter, committed crimes, if she stole, I would chop off her hand. Why? Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up for justice. And when you read hadith, you will see he loved Fatima radiallahu anha. You can not deny that. He loved his daughter. He said, what hurts Fatima hurts me. Fatima's part of me. I love Fatima. Yet, if Fatima stole, I would chop off her hand. Why would you chop off her hand? Are you a fanatic? No. I love Allah. And I believe in Allah. Listen, brothers and sisters. As I read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والسارق والسارقة فقطعوا أيديهما. The thief, male or female, this is the last speaker. The thief, the one who steals, who? Men or women, male or female, chop off the hand. If they steal, chop off the hand. This is the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
جزاءً بما كسبا نكالا من الله والله عزيز حكيم.
This is their punishment. Because what they have hands have earned, what they have done, they earned it to get their hands chopped off. Nikalin, an example from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what? Believe me, you chop off enough hands, other people will get the example. And people say, well, I better not do that. If I steal, I get my hands chopped off. This is an example from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim. He is powerful and he is wise.
Now, brothers and sisters, I'm asking you a question. Assuming an Islamic State, somebody steals $100, do you chop off their hand? In Islamic State. What about $50? Do you chop off somebody's hand for a dollar?
You don't know until you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and his messenger. Explain to us what it means. How? What commandment did he give? What is the minimum amount of stealing did you get your hand chopped off?
Can I tell you what the messenger of Allah says? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
If they steal 1/4 of a dinar, chop off their hand.
You hear what I said?
If they steal as small as 1/4 of a dinar, 1/4 of a coin, man, chop off their hand. Why? Because Allah don't like us to steal.
You know, brothers and sisters, this masjid should be, if you came here and you left $100 on the floor, you come back 1 month later, that $100 supposed to still be there in the masjid. Unless somebody pick it up and hold it for you. Not in their pocket.
You should not have to come to the masjid and worry somebody gonna steal my shoes. Somebody stole my socks. Somebody stole my pen. Somebody stole my book.
We had a visitor come to our masjid. Somebody stole some shoes. Very expensive shoes. We had to pay some almost $100 for the shoes. Somebody stole the young brother's sneakers. And you know how much sneakers cost these days?
We had to pay $70 for somebody stealing somebody's sneakers. Somebody going to sister's pocket stole money. But in an Islamic society, man, you get your hand chopped off. If you stole so much as one fourth of a dinar.
So brothers and sisters, the reason I say this is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ready to cut off the hand of his own daughter. Why? Because he loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because this verse from Quran, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu kunu qawwamina bil qisti hudaa lillah wallahu ala anfusikum. Oh, you who believe, stand up for justice. Witnesses for Allah, even if it be against yourself. Daughter, I love you, but I love Allah more. Put your hand down.
Son, my beloved son, I love you, my son, but I must punish you because I love Allah more. And if I punish someone else, I will punish you because the law of justice demands. Everybody is under the law. Nobody is above the law.
كونوا قوامين بالكسوة دعا لله الحمد لله رب العالمين.